Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" He asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? His life is taken from the world." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" And then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and were baptized. Now when he came, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities salvation of many people. He's right there where the action is. Now God's telling him to leave. Leave the action. Leave the exciting work. Go to a deserted village. Leave all the crowds who are anxious to hear the gospel. Go to a desert? Really? Really? Makes no sense. So what does Philip do? He rationalizes. He rationalizes. You know something? There's a lot of good stuff going on. Not what he did. Look at verse 27. It says that he arose and went. He didn't know what God had in mind for him. But he knew one thing. He knew two things. He knew one thing, that God was his master, and he knew that he was obliged to obey him. So that's what he did. He immediately obeys. He was walking by faith, not by sight. So then we come to a divinely ordained appointment. We see this in the middle of verse 27. We see why God directs Philip to this desert road. There's a man there who you will see is an object of God's special grace. And he must be reached with the gospel. This is no ordinary man. He's a high-ranking government official. He's their equivalent of the Secretary of the Treasury. He is their finance minister. This is a big role. He is an important role. And in God's wisdom and grace, this man is about to become a strategic conduit. I say this because to this point, the gospel had already been received in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. After this encounter, this highly influential Ethiopian would have taken to one of the uttermost parts of the earth for the African continent. Clearly, neither Philip nor the eunuch planned any of this. God ordained it. He ordained it before the foundation of the world. And he had providentially prepared both of them. Both of them he prepared. So let's consider the preparation of these two men, the portrait of two prepared men. Now, Philip is clearly prepared for this encounter. Earlier in this chapter, we see him effectively preaching Christ to the multitudes. We see God owning his preaching and the saving of many souls. Philip certainly knew the gospel message, knew the content of that message with its great focus in understand, he employs the means of asking someone who does understand. Another man seeks to win others to Christ. How does it do that? Employs the means of growing in the local church. He employs the means of learning the scriptures. He employs the means of preaching the good news of Jesus Christ from the scriptures. And as these means are pursued, we see that God uses them to draw the Ethiopian, to direct Philip, to grant saving faith to the Ethiopian's heart. And it's also very worthy of note that though an angel of the Lord leads Philip, and though the Holy Spirit himself directs Philip to the eunuch, it's Philip himself who is left to preach the gospel. It reminds me of Romans 10:15. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? choices and priorities in my life reflect life gratitude, a life of obedience, a life of joyful service? Let's be continually assessing if we're living our lives totally for the glory of God, as debtors to His marvelous grace. If we're not, He's not going to receive me. He won't receive me. He can't. He's too perfect. We have His word that He will abundantly pardon all who come to Him. All who come to Him through Christ. He will never cast you aside. He will never cast you out. So you have assurance in your own heart from God's own word that if you go to Him, He will receive you. He will far more willing to save you than you are willing to be saved. Know that for certain. So what do I do? Ask Him. Ask Him to show you that He would save you. Be like this Ethiopian. I don't understand this, Lord. Show me that I need to be saved. Show me this, and I need to have a Savior. Then ask Him. He's a person. He's not out there someplace not caring. He was involved in this entire story. He's involved in your story as well. Ask Him to show you the glory.